The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O God. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. "Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Come and see. It's one of those triggering phrases for me. Like the way rainbow patterns make me think of cotton candy, or unfiltered cigarettes make me think of Betty Davis, always in black and white. Come and See is the title of a Soviet film from 1985 that I had to watch in film school. And I swear, even though it's been a good 17 or 18 years since the viewing, and I don't have the stomach to endure it a second time, I hear the phrase, "come and see," and I see the face of the film's hero, a 14-year-old boy enduring and surviving the 1943 Nazi occupation of Belarus. The hyper-realistic film offers no relief from the bombardment of horror intended to serve as an honest depiction of history, rarely, if ever, mentioned in the history books. The filmmakers have said they intended to make the film to serve as a document of unrecorded history that the world may know and the violence may never be repeated. And given the placement of this phrase in our reading, I had wondered if there was a connection between the title and the scriptures. And as it turns out, the producers took the phrase, "come and see," not from the Gospel of John, but from John the Revelator, who uses the phrase repeatedly to describe the opening of the seals in Revelation chapter 6, most poignantly in verses 7 and 8. "Come and see." I looked, and there was a pale green horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed with him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, and pestilence, and by the wild animals of the earth. My little introduction here is meant to provide some context for my interpretation and to serve as sort of an apology for going so dark this morning. But I hear that phrase, "come and see," and I feel as if I am being drawn into someone else's dark secret or hidden memory to see, and by shared memory become a part of something real and terrifying. Through our prayers and songs this morning, we have lifted up God's wondrous gift of love in sending us Jesus, who through amazing grace brought gladness and healing to the people. But to appreciate that, we, like the disciples, must also come and see the sadness and sickness Christ came to save us from. Gratefully, no one in this space have the scars of firsthand memory of the villagers of Belarus in 1943, or of the My Lai massacre in South Vietnam, or the bombings in Dresden, London, Hiroshima, or Nagasaki, the Rwanda genocide, or of the mass shootings here in the US, or today in Ukraine. We have not experienced firsthand slavery, apartheid, human trafficking, forced sterilization, or Holocaust, or any one of the many horrors of human history. But God has. God was present for the conception, birth, life, and death for all of the victims of each of these tragedies. Each life was a priceless treasure, and each was cut down by another who was a priceless treasure. And Jesus wept. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Come and see. It is no slight invitation Jesus gives to these two strangers. They declared to him that they were looking for a teacher. And rather than giving them a spoken lesson or a parable or a rhetorical question, Jesus offers a chance to walk beside him and witness the grace of the gladness and healing that would become his ministry. To come and see is to join in participation with the work of Christ, first that they might be enlightened and then to be transformed and take on the work of the teacher, to become givers of gladness and healing themselves, ourselves. For Jesus did not come to us as a brief visit to disappear from our sight, but to bless all those who would walk beside him, and he beside them and beside us, the gift of the Spirit that God's grace would be more contagious than any sickness or sorrow. But it isn't enough to merely watch or listen to the teachings. Jesus would lay his hands on the unclean, the lepers, the marginalized, women, and all those cast aside by a world which counted them worthless. He would literally dig his bare hands through the mud to restore the sight of a blind man. And we who seek the knowledge of God's grace must also come, bear witness, and join him. As the Lamb of God, the suffering servant of Isaiah, Jesus is an avenue for God's intervention in the world on behalf of all the people who suffer. As Sherry Brown writes, it is the Lamb of God who heals the broken, sinful relationships between God and humankind, and the Son of Man who reveals God in the human story by challenging disciples and audiences of all time to come and see. And it is not through rose-colored lenses we are invited to see. Any tendency or impulse we may have to look away or explain away or justify human oppression, collateral damage, or negligence of the least of these, we must reject. To come and see, we must look injustice plainly in the eye and see it for what it is. For whatever human suffering experienced on this earth, so Christ would also experience, and so Christ is daily experiencing. For in Matthew's gospel, Jesus promises that he is with us, beside us, to the very end of time. No life is overlooked, no pain ignored by the one who created and loved each one of us. When we hurt, so our Father hurts, as any parent hurts when any child of theirs is in pain. And we, the disciples of today, are not called to stand by and wait for God or for another to put an end to suffering. We have all been baptized with the Holy Spirit and thus have the power and grace within us to participate in the joy and gladness and healing to transform the world. Where would we be if the Spirit had not moved leaders like W.E.B. Du Bois, Ida B. Wells, Archibald Grimke, Mary White Ovington, and many others who had seen the brutality of unchecked lynchings to to form the NAACP. In the wake of the Springfield riot in August of 1908, 2 days of terrorism against black communities by an angry white mob in which 16 people were killed and dozens of homes and businesses were burned to the ground, groups of activists, lawyers, pastors, civil rights leaders were moved to come together to form one organization to bring an end to this kind of violence. They had no army, and they had a legal system rigged against them. Their strategy for the next 30 years was to organize, march, witness, document, and publish for the whole world to witness the systemic lynchings and wrongful incarceration of people of color. For any doubters, deniers, or ignorant, Du Bois published the Crisis magazine, complete with details, photos, commentary, inviting all people, far and near, to come and see for themselves. For when we face indisputable evidence of injustice, we become responsible. And if we then still knowingly continue to look the other way, we have chosen to side with injustice. Where would we be if the Spirit had not moved the thousands who took up the cross of this mission? John Lewis, Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow, Malcolm X, Whitney Young, Fred Hampton, and many, many others who decided not to wait for justice, but to make it happen through legislative action, ecumenical relationships, community action, marches, sermons, teachings, and boldness in the face of overwhelming power. Many of their lives were cut down, murdered by proponents of tyranny, but their mission and legacy endures, and the spirit of their work inspires people across the world to carry on their work. Their successes gives us courage and faith that tyranny and injustice will not prevail in the end. They are successors of the Spirit who called upon an international community to come and see. And though the fight for justice continues and always will continue, things can never go backwards, although there are certain people determined to make it so. We have this sort of silly notion of a God's eye view, that we may see things more clearly from a high point looking down. But that is not the way of Christ. Jesus did not stay on a mountain and bid the world bow down to him while he passed judgment from afar. But true to his name, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus walked among the least of the people and invited the most unworthy, the least impressive, the anxious and unsure, the ignorant and the poor to join him. He invited them into a mission and a new worldview, to perceive the world beyond their personal lives and their own context, to go out and touch, to heal, and to feed the untouchable. He showed them the truth of their surroundings and lifted the veils hindering their perception of their neighbor and enticed them to show mercy to the suffering and kindness to the stranger. God's eye sees so much more than just the tops of our heads or our titles or rank. God sees our worth, our sadness, our lowliness, our sickness, our sorrow, our hopelessness, and offers gladness and healing. God offers us the Lamb to take away our pain and our shame, to offer us protection and sustenance. But it is not merely for our own well-being, but for our transformation, that we might be best equipped to love and show mercy as God shows shows mercy and love to us. To borrow from Dr. Audrey West, if you want to know the Word made flesh, come and see Jesus. If you want to know what love is like, come and see Jesus. If you want to experience God's glory, to be filled with bread that never perishes, to quench your thirst with living water, to be born again, to abide in love, to behold the light of the world, to experience the way, the truth, and the life, to enter into life everlasting. If you want to know God, come and see Jesus. I waited patiently upon the Lord. He stooped to me and heard my cry He lifted me out of the desolate pit, out of the mire and clay, and set my feet upon a high cliff and made my footing sure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in God. Thanks be to God.